Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Aren't you glad to be at church this morning? Say amen. Amen. Amen.
I want Sister Cheryl to come around and sing God Raise the Ransom.
Breathe one new breath. Life blossomed and filled up the tomb. Praise God. Death had lost its sting. It was conquered by the King. When he arose, glory broke the seal of doom. God raised the ransom. Jesus walked out of the grave.
Sing this verse, 'twas grace. Sing it.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved.
Everybody's singing now.
His grace.
He left a throne in heaven to come to Bethlehem, and I will not forget the way He loved me even then. And everywhere He traveled, He spoke with words of love that said that He'd go to any distance to show what I was worthy of. And then at last that dusty road turn to Calvary. He picked up the rugged burden so that one day I can see He loved me with a cross.
To the call of love, He loved. If you have your Bibles, let's turn. My text really is out of Leviticus, but I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. I really appreciate it. We have a lot of folks out traveling, and then, as I mentioned earlier, we had, I know, two families that having the ER experience and sicknesses and things of that nature. And we have a good group here this morning. I thank you for being here. Thank you. I appreciate our guests coming. We don't take it for granted when you guys are here. Timmy and Anita, of course, that was Miss Rita's brother-in-law and sister. Glad they're here. And then others that also have come multiple times, and we don't take it for granted. We thank you for being here and hope you'll come back and worship with us. I pray that you'll be blessed. And I know if you haven't been blessed in song, you may have been checked out for the last 15 or 20 minutes, but I pray that through the Word of God, maybe we can take something home with us, apply it, maybe help us grow a little bit. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1. I want to read my text, and then I'll eventually work over here or down to Romans chapter 1. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy brethren, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord." The emphasis here, "I am the Lord," seems to be definite instruction. If you've ever been a dad or a mom, you sometimes have to give definite instruction to your children. And sometimes they want to back talk, or they give you the look, and you have to remind them, "Hey, I'm your daddy. Brought you into the world, can take you out." You've heard that, you know. But sometimes we stick that on the end of that definite instruction. "You listen to me, I'm your daddy. You listen to me, I'm your mama." I mean, it's saying, "Hey, I'm not just speaking to hear myself rattle. I'm suggesting, I'm instructing with definite authority." In other words, in this case, there's no discussion. Y'all with me? So that's where I believe the Lord was here in Leviticus with his people. He's saying, "Stop. I'm the Lord. I'm your daddy. And I'm not messing around about this thing." I was doing a little reading, and I found a story that I think will do well here this morning. It was a farmer's wife had spread some slanderous story about her pastor through the village, and this is an old story. And soon the whole countryside had heard this slanderous story. Sometimes later, the woman became sick and confessed the story was untrue. After her recovery, she came to the pastor and craved or desired his pardon. The old pastor said, "Of course, I will gladly pardon you if you will comply with a wish of mine." Well, she was happy to do so, and she replied as such. Then he said, "Go home, kill a black hen, pluck the feathers, and put them in a basket, and bring them here. In a half an hour, she was back. "Now," said the pastor, "go through the village, and at each street corner, scatter a few of these feathers. The remaining ones, take to the top of the bell tower and scatter them to the wind in return." So she did so. "Now go through the village and gather the feathers again and see that not one is missing." The woman looked at the pastor astonished and said, "Why, that is impossible. The wind has scattered them all over the fields everywhere." And so he said, "While I forgive you gladly, do not forget that you can never undo the damage your untrue words have done." I think there's a great lesson for us to learn in that story. The scattered feathers is the title of that true story. If you want to look it up on the internet, you're welcome to try to find it. That's not where I found it, but I'm sure you can find it there. But I just want to talk to you for just a few moments about nitpicking. Now, when I say nitpicking, I'm not talking about, well, I won't say it. I was about to say I'm not talking about picking your nose, but that would not be gracious from the pulpit, so I won't say that. But I am talking about the gossip, the nitpicker. And there's just a few things about the nitpicker I think we need to look into. And that's why I asked you to turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to do a little reading. There's about five verses, but then we'll move right along and get into the message. I believe that the gossip exhibits at least one characteristic of the unbeliever. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when we were saved, when we bowed our heads and asked Jesus to come into our heart, when we fell on our knees and repented of our sins, we became a new creature in Christ. We still have that sin nature. But we also have that holy nature, that nature that we have, as we mentioned last week, when the Holy Spirit moves in. And nevertheless, the gossip does exhibit one of the characters of the unbeliever. And now Paul writes in this chapter to the Christians in Rome, I believe, when we get up to verse 26, that Paul is referencing Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, folks, that is probably one of the most negative references that could be made during the biblical times and even today. Matter of fact, we'll just go ahead and read in verse 26, Romans chapter 1. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the unnatural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense, that reward of their error, which is meat. And you know what that word meat means? Death. And when, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Did you hear that? They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, they rejected Him, His holiness, His word. It was rejected then just like it is rejected today by this same group of people. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a morally depraved mind, to do those things which are not convenient, not appropriate, not in God's plan, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That is a negative description of individuals, wouldn't you say? I would even go beyond using the term negative. It is a horrible description of the individuals that hate God. But what caught my attention here, and I believe what is here for we Christians this morning, is the fact that we are in this fleshly body that has some of the same sinful tendencies that the lost man or woman still has. And we say, well, I'm a Christian. Man, I'm faithful to my wife. I'm a Christian. I don't lie. I'm a Christian. I don't hate God. I'm a Christian. I don't boast. I'm not proud. I don't invent evil things, and on and on and on. But we get down to the whisperers and the backbiters, and I've got to tell you, that stops a lot of Christians in their tracks. So we see here that when we allow ourselves to be drawn in, and what causes us to be drawn into that? I mean, it's a lot of things, but we're emotional beings. We're not Vulcans. If you're a Star Trek person, you know what I mean. We're not Vulcans. We're emotional. We allow our emotions sometimes to dictate how we feel, what we do, and the things we say. But nevertheless, the line has been drawn by the Lord over in Leviticus, where he says, I'm your daddy, and I'm telling you. And then right here, he's making comparisons of the lost. Well, I want to tell you, if there is something that the lost are doing, those that do not know Christ as their Savior, if the Bible says it's wrong, I don't want to participate. And so I want us to realize that when we find ourselves emotionally drawn, for whatever reason, into tale-bearing and whispering, we are participating in one of the characteristics of the most evil of unbelievers as being described by Paul to the Roman church. Well, so we see this. But then secondly, I think we should understand that nitpicking wounds the family. Hey, I've seen many families torn to pieces over nitpicking and gossip. It'll tear your family apart, and we should abstain from it, stay away from it. Hey, daddies, husbands, it's our job when we see it coming down the aisle, when we see it coming down the pike, that we say, stop. It's our duty as daddies to stop the whispering, to stop the tale-bearing, to stop the nitpicking. Why? Because it will destroy your family. Pastor James Norris, I worked with him. God gave me the opportunity to work with him for around 6 years. And I heard him stand up and preach one time. And can't believe it's been almost 20 years ago. And he stood up behind the pulpit. He said, I'd rather have a choir full of drunks than one nitpicker in the church. I got to tell you something. What he was saying is a nitpicker can do a lot of damage. I tell you, if we had a choir full of drunks, we would have quite a song service, though. I got to tell you, it'd be an interesting song service for sure. It'd be one for the books. Sometimes we'll have a service, my message would be so bad, I'll tell Brother William, don't put that out on the internet. That might be one we wouldn't want to put out on the internet. But anyhow, it wounds the family. Proverbs 26:22 says this, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Then it goes on to say this, they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. In other words, it's not superficial, ladies and gentlemen, but it is life-changing, it's debilitating, it wounds the family. Yes, your family, your blood family. Yes, it does, but I want to tell you, it wounds right down into the belly, right down where it's uncomfortable and you can't get away from it. You can't put a Band-Aid on it. Ladies and gentlemen, it hurts the church family. The gossip, number one, wounds their self. Number two, they wound the person they're gossiping to. And thirdly, they wound the person they're gossiping about. So it's not just superficial wound. This wound goes deep into the spirit of everyone. And it bruises and hurts. I want to tell you, Christians, it's the innermost part of the belly. It does some serious damage when we find ourselves wanting to nitpick, wanting to talebear, want to be that informer, so to speak. Well, the good news is, what do? Well, there's a cure. There's a cure for the gossip. There's an antidote, if I may say. Number one, we can overlook the offense. Wow, that's hard to do. Number one, we can overlook the offense. Proverbs 17:9 says this, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love." Now, I'm going to back up. Please don't lose me. Listen, please. He that covereth a transgression. That word covereth means to cover for protection. He that covers for protection a transgression seeketh love. So I said, well, Lord, you know, that can be selfish for somebody to cover a transgression so they can receive some type of affection or love. So if you don't mind, I want to go in and do a word study on this word love. And this is what it means. He that cover for protection a transgression seeketh love is God's love to his people. Did you hear that? So we are seeking, when we cover to protect, we are seeking God's love for his people or to his people. This God that loved us enough to send his only begotten son, that kind of love, that's the kind of love that's being talked about here. The love of God here. Not that we receive some love, but that we exhibit the love of God to his people, you see. So this isn't about us. This is about affecting God's family. Well, aren't we having fun? So overlook the offense. Number two, don't listen. Proverbs 20:19 says this, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him." Isn't that something? Ladies, aren't you so glad it didn't say meddle not with her? Because we do. We give you ladies a hard time about it. But the truth is, the men can take it up a notch. And the men can do a lot of damage. But nevertheless, the Bible is saying here, meddle not with him. I want to tell you what the Bible is saying here. If you know someone that is a talebearer, you know someone that they sit around and they gossip and talk and run their mouth, the Bible is clearly stating this. Don't have anything to do with them. If they're coming to you, and by the way, I don't think this is happening at Westside, but if someone comes to you to run down the leadership of this church, you need to cut them off at the knees. And do it in love. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's right. Hey, listen to this. So we need to overlook the offense, which is not easy. We don't need to listen to them, which is not easy. Because we all like to hear something new. But I tell you what the Bible says. It says we need to go to the gossips. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. You go by yourself. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. You know what that means is? Consider him lost. Consider him undone. You can't put a heathen man in charge of one of the church's offices, can you? You can let them come to church and let them hear the word of God, but you can't let the lost man or lost woman have a position in the church. We're to love them like we do the heathen, am I right? We're to pray for them like we do the heathen, am I right? But we're not going to give them positions in the church. Next time you want to talk about someone, you need to think about that if you want to be a leader at Westside Baptist Church. And I'm not going to go into this, but would you do that? I mean, and what this is just saying is this. The Bible's saying here that if somebody has hurt you or you think you've heard something they may have said, you're just to go to them and say, hey, Bob, did you say that? Well, did you mean it? Well, not really. You know what? 99.9% of the time, if you do that, the whole thing can be resolved. 99. And what do you have when that's resolved? Unity. Amen? So it's real easy to do. Well, I got to be honest. It's not easy to do because we get our feelings on our shoulders. We get hurt. You know what I'm talking about. Nevertheless, that's what the Bible says to do. And if it's something serious, then you go get another brother or two, and you go back and you say, hey, man, you've said this, and you won't repent of it. It's not true. And then if he says, well, I'm not repenting of it, then you have to go to the church and say, Bob said this, and we've confronted Bob, but he's not willing to repent of it. I want to tell you what's going to happen. 9 times out of 10 or more, Bob's going to leave. And he's going to leave the church or she's going to leave the church because you've called them on something and they're not willing to back down. So, but that's what God's word says to do. You don't want to lose anybody from the church, do you? But you know what? Every once in a while, it doesn't hurt for a little weed to walk out, a gossip to walk out. You hate to lose anybody, but I tell you, nitpicking will destroy God's family. And so let's go on. Let's go on if you don't mind. So remember, we're talking about the cure for the gossip. Overlook the offense. Don't listen. Go to the gossip. And then listen to this. You ready? Watch our own tongues. See, all of a sudden it's going to get personal here. Let's watch our own tongues. Watch our own tongues. Ephesians chapter 4 says this. Let no corruption proceed out of your mouth. Is it getting personal yet? We're no longer talking in generalities. We're no longer reading scriptures that make reference to some gone by time. The Bible's saying, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of what? To edify folks, to edify, to lift people up, and that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Have you ever gone to see somebody, or somebody's come to see you, and they're so gracious? And my goodness, you're scraping rock bottom, but there's just something about their sweet spirit that when they leave, you feel good. Have you met somebody like that? Have you ever met somebody where you're having a rough day or even a good day? They come to see you. When they leave, you feel like dirt. That's right. Hey, the Bible's saying we need to watch our own tongue. We shouldn't let corrupt communication come out of our mouth. When we do speak, it needs to be good. It needs to be something that could edify or help the brethren. It needs to be graciousness to the ears of the saints. And then you know what I find funny about this? Very next line says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Remember last Sunday we talked about the Holy Spirit and how it has sealed us? Remember that Holy Spirit? Well, listen to this. If we allow corrupt communications to come out of our mouth, if we find ourselves doing evil instead of good, putting down instead of edifying, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is telling us here it grieves the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit, remember that anointed Jesus spoken of in Acts chapter 10. Remember that last week? Remember the same Spirit that through Christ cast out demons? Remember the Holy Spirit that caused Christ to weep there at Lazarus' tomb? Remember the Holy Spirit that led Christ to Calvary? Remember the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead in Romans chapter 8 and 1 Peter chapter 3? That Holy Spirit, we grieve as God's children when we say the wrong things and do the wrong things. I was reading about Lawrence Spivak or Spivak. Remember him? No, most of you don't. I think he was even a little before my time. He was the moderator of Meet the Press for 30 years, and then he retired. He received a telegram before he went on the air one morning. And the telegram said this to Mr. Spivak. It said this, a lady had sent it. She said, "Why don't you smile? You never smile. Why don't you try smiling?" He said, so he had the telegram. He read that. He went on the air immediately after the telegram. He had seen the telegram. He says, so toward the end of the program, he put this big smile on his face and looked into the camera. The show was over. He went back to his dressing room. A telegram came, and it was a telegram from the same lady. And she said, "Forget what I said. You looked a whole lot better the other way." You know, Christians, you know what I took from that? It could just be that our initial opinion is wrong. It could just be that we don't know something about the details and that we probably are out of our league when we draw an opinion. This lady was out of her league. See, she suggested something that probably the producers had seen him do and said, "Whoa, tell that boy not to smile." This lady stepped out of her element and she caused a less than visually appealing end to Meet the Press that day. She was out of her league. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that many times again, we're out of our league. We're out of our place when we criticize, especially when we don't know the details. Brother Dave and I were talking one day. I believe that one of the most critical times in a church, hey, I thank God that child is here. I mean, that one's crying out in the hall. I like it. I can talk over it. I want to tell you this. God, and I lost my train of thought. I lost my train of thought. But nevertheless, one of the most precious times in a family's life is when their son or their daughter gets married. Am I right? Recently, we had one of the prettiest weddings here and had a pretty bride, too. I don't know about the groom, but the bride, okay? We love David as well. But I tell you what, that is a personal thing, a wedding, is it not? I think that is probably the most personal item that a family can go through. And every family does it a little differently. I've come to the conclusion there's really no wrong way to do a wedding. It's all up to the family. It's all what we want. It's not even about our opinion so much. It's just what we want or it's what we don't want, or it's what we can afford or can't afford. Am I correct? I'm going to tell you something. It's not up to us whether it be a wedding, a funeral, this, that, or the other thing to criticize a brother and sister in Christ. I tell you, I'll marry mine my way, you marry yours your way. I won't talk bad about the way you do it if you don't talk bad about the way we do it. Amen. I want to tell you, I love Jesus and I love you and I want the best for Westside Baptist Church. But nevertheless, this woman said this to that Lawrence Spivak. When he smiled, she said, "Don't do it again." And today I'm telling you, Westside Baptist Church, if there's one here that may have a critical spirit, that might have a tail-bearing tongue, I want to suggest to you, as this lady did to this man, don't do it again. Amen. Don't do it again. Folks, I'm running long. But I believe with all my heart we're on the right track. God's blessing Westside Baptist Church. We're seeing people saved and baptized. We're having people come in and visit and join and so forth. This thing didn't start recently. It's been going over 37 years. God's been doing this. No man can make this happen. This is all God. And I just want us to have a mind and a heart for Christ. And by the way we have the heart for Christ, part of it is having a heart for one another. No critical spirit. I want to say this. I want to say it again, especially since we do have guests here this morning. I do not know of any massive tail-bearing going on, anything tragic in the church. I don't know of anything like that. But the Holy Spirit told me to speak on this morning. I'm not going to be able to finish this message. I might finish it tonight. I might not finish it tonight. But nevertheless, it's very important. You may be here this morning, and you say, "Preacher," and I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, but I am going to ask you to stand right now. If you just stand where you are, and you may be here and say, "Preacher, I have allowed, without meaning to, circumstances and situations have come along in my life, and it has caused me to become a little bitter in my spirit. And I just need the Lord's help in that area." The altar is going to be open for that. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. We all go through trying times, and we have to do a check on ourselves, a checkup, to realize that, hey, I have allowed this bitterness to build up in my life. That's where you might be. Or you might be here this morning and say, "Preacher, I've been a victim of that kind of thing. I've been a victim of the tailbearer. I've been a victim of the gossip. I tell you, preacher, I'm hurt. I'm bruised. I'm battered. And preacher, I'm hurt this morning." Well, the altar's here for you as well. You may say, "Preacher, I'm not struggling with this. I don't have a critical spirit. Personally, I have not been wounded, but I know somebody that's been wounded. I know someone that's bruised. I know someone that is hurt, and I want to pray for them this morning." The altar is open. It's just that simple. The altar call is just that simple as we sing.
Have thine own way.